Springtime savings are in full bloom, all in the Kroger app. Buy one, get one free on flavorful, fresh Tyson chicken during our full line sale. Then mix or match during our 99-cent sale and get Kraft mac and cheese, Campbell's soup, or Bar-S Franks for 99 cents each when you buy five or more, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger, less than 5 miles away. Or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
From the Ante Up headquarters in Tampa Bay, Florida, it's the Ante Up PokerCast. And now, here are two guys who think they know how to play poker, Chris Cosenza and Scott Long.
It's January 14th, 2022. You're listening to the best PokerCast on the interwebs. I'm Chris Cosenza.
And I'm Scott Long.
I like this lead item we're going to talk about today. I don't have anything funny to talk about leading up to it, so if you do,
say is that very happy that we've had three shows in 2022, and you've got 2022 correct all times, and I got a file too. So
that's the thing. If you change the file, I'm screwed. Like if you make it say 2028, I'm saying it. So
I'm still putting 2021 on my checks, and yes, I still use checks. So. all right, so I always kind of like this. In fact, actually, what I meant to do, and I forgot, so maybe I'll do this for next week, is go back in time and see last year's predictions and see how wildly off they were. But every year, our friends at Poker News do their poker predictions for the coming year. And this year, it's Matt Hansen's turn there. And here are his predictions, and we'll just read through them, and we'll see which ones we think are correct and which ones we can laugh at, right?
Okay, yep.
All right. First one, the poker market will continue to grow in Texas. Bally's in Paris will provide a great location for the World Series of Poker. The Run Good Poker Tour will continue to grow. Ali Imsurovic, I think I stuck the landing on this time, will win a World Series bracelet, be the World Series Player of the Year, and also be the PokerGo Tournament Player of the Year. Dan Jungleman Cates will repeat as the World Series of Poker Players Championship champion. A Brazilian will win the World Series of Poker main event. And more states will legalize online poker and share players with other states.
Oh, wow. Well, what does he say about the status of the Antioch PokerCast? I want to know. His prediction is for that, because I keep predicting it wrong somehow every week. I don't know. Very interesting. I agree with some are pretty obvious, and some are interesting. Really, like, the tough one is the Brazilian will win the World Series main event. That's yeah, really, you know.
He had a couple very specific ones. That one is one of them, the Ali Imsurovic. doing all three of those things is a tall order, although absolute terror lately. So, I mean, who knows? We'll see. But yeah, some of those are very specific. The other ones are very vague and more probably possible in terms of if you were putting money on it, right?
Right, so, right. I mean, if you were going to say, hey, will one more poker room open in Texas and that'll make it come true? Then, yeah, that's going to happen probably. Bally's in Paris, a great location. I don't know about, I mean, I guess, I mean, what makes a great location, too? It's awesome.
Yeah, I will say this. I think what he's getting at, and I agree with this, too, is, you know, we're by nature in the year 2022 negative people throughout the world.
Right.
Positive people are all exiled somewhere else. Everybody's like, the whole world's ending, right? So we generally don't like change, and we think things are going to be worse than they end up actually being. So, again, I'm a rose-colored glass guy. I actually do think this move to Bally's in Paris will be a good one. It won't be for everybody's taste, but I think all in all, I think it's not going to be as bad as people think. I mean, there are things that we talked about, you know, like the easy parking and all that kind of stuff, obviously are not going to happen ever. But the experience in there and being on the strip, I think, is going to be better than, at least better than people think, if not.
I agree. I'm not always trying to be a negative Nancy or negative Nick or whatever you want to call me. But and the fact that they're close to each other, Bally's and Paris are just one you know, a couple of feet away from each other. Yeah, so, you know, it won't be that big of a problem if, like, your event is in Paris today and your other event's in Bally's tomorrow or whatever. That's that big of a deal. It was just you and I always loved how convenient Rio was, although it was so far away. Like, if you wanted to stay on the Strip...
Well, again, it's great parking, but you don't have a car. Then it wasn't a great location because you had Uber or Lyft or cab over there every day. So, I mean, so it's depending on your how you view the world, right? As it all debates, right? So, if you're going out to Vegas and not renting a car, this is going to be way better to be at Bally's in Paris than at the Rio.
Absolutely agree.
Live in Vegas and you have a car, this is going to be a problem because that. Find a place to park and stuff like that. So it all depends on your worldview. So
I find it interesting that he brings up the Run Good Poker Tour. You know, because what I would think is by saying this, is he saying the other ones won't grow?
I think again, I'm not in his brain, but right. I would say what I think is that he kind of singled them out. Not that the other ones won't, but that Run Good Poker Tour was the mid-major tour of the year last year, I believe, in the last Global Poker Awards, whatever that was, 2 years ago. And they continue to add more locations. They just finished up a really successful one at our good friends out of Thunder Valley this past week. So I think it's more of kind of a nod to them doing everything right and just kind of like showing them some love. Rather than throwing shade at anybody else.
Okay. Because it's like, you know, by default, but if you're saying this one's going to grow, you're not, I guess he just doesn't want to take a chance of saying the other ones will grow or not grow. He's not saying that that's the only one that will grow and the other ones are going to be stale or go south.
I think he's signaling. So,
all right.
The things that they're doing that he thinks are very good.
Do you have an insight as to are there any states that are actually in the process of?
Yeah, I think this is the one that I would not bet money on. I would actually bet money on the Ali Ims Horovic one more.
Right.
Not that he's not deserving, but that's a tough triple crown there.
Yeah, right.
But it doesn't. I'm really not aware of any states right now that have bills active to legalize online poker. Obviously, several of them are trying to get sports books. Some might be legalizing gambling in general, which would allow maybe poker. But I'm not aware of any specific online poker bills that are out there. And obviously, I don't follow all 50 states, so there might be some out there. But I'm just not aware of any. So
yeah, but I mean, you have a feed set up to tell you anytime the word poker basically comes up, you're getting some news info. So if you don't know about it, it's not out there.
It probably isn't. And let's be honest, we've talked about this on the show before, too. You know, once the Supreme Court lifted the sportsbook thing, that is where all the interest went, right?
Yeah,
so,
yeah.
I mean, that's really where everything's going now. It's where all the marketing money is. I mean, you can't even watch Days of Our Lives now without competing ads from DraftKings and FanDuel. So, you know, so that's just where it is. And for whatever reason, lawmakers seem to think that sports betting is less dangerous or less onerous or whatever words you want to use that they have been using to keep gambling out of their states in the past. It's less that than poker or other forms of gambling. And I don't see a way for us, we as the poker community, to overcome that. So I think we just got to hope that we can grab onto some coattails there in states that find, hey, sports books are bringing out a lot of money. Maybe what if we allow poker too? And that's probably where it's going to go. But now the shared liquidity, that more likely to happen, I think. I think as some of these other states keep going, that they'll realize the intelligence in that. But again, you got to think from a lawmaker standpoint, not everybody understands. I mean, they don't understand the difference between poker and blackjack, right? That's always been one of our problems, right?
So, yeah.
So, I mean, it doesn't make sense to someone. Well, why would we have to share players? You know, it takes one person to play blackjack. Why do you need to play blackjack with somebody in California? But, you know, if you understand poker, then you understand why liquidity is such an important thing. But that takes education. And that's, again, everything we do with poker has always been a tough sell, right? So it's not going to change. It's just, we got to work harder than the other guys. to get what we want. So,
and to make this a successful bet, too, for us to vote the other way or to bet the other way, when he says plural states, that's yes. how you know you're going to win, because there's not going to be more than one state.
At least one state, yes. That, yeah. that would bring the odds down.
Exactly. So I think you and I, if we were to make bets, we would probably bet on the last four. Allie, Dan Jungleman, the Brazilian winning the main event, and the states. Those are the four that we would bet against and probably would come out on the winning side of that.
Correct. Yes, on the first.
And then the first three, we'd probably
really the only thing in Texas that anybody has to worry about is, you know, the state cracking down on it. That's the only thing that's going to stop the group there.
Yeah,
Either cracking down on it, or as we mentioned before, legalizing casinos and even just legalizing casinos, not even touching the clubs. Legalizing casinos, I think, would have a big impact on the card club growth there as well, too. But. Right. But otherwise, yeah, there's no reason to believe that that's not going to go gangbusters. Again, you're going to have the folks that, as we mentioned, whine about Bally's in Paris, but most people are going to go and play and have a good time. Just like the it's going to be a lot like the vaccination thing, I think, right? I mean, people are like, oh, people are going to go because they're going to go to Bally's in Paris. And then at the end of the day, you know, people still go.
So. Just they're going to go, absolutely.
And there's no reason to believe Run Good's not going to get better or continue to grow either. So, yeah. Right. Now, of the final four, though, if you force me to put a bet down, I would put down on Dan Case repeating as Poker Players Championship champion.
Yes,
that's happened before. I mean, you don't get a lot of people in that tournament. So, I mean, mathematically, I'm not even using Kate's ability here. Just mathematically, that's far more possible than some of these other things. So,
yeah, I agree. Wow, that's weird.
Yeah.
I should gamble more often. Because you and I agree, and you gamble all the time. Of course, do you lose? Overall, yeah. In your whole life, or you come out on the losing end of gambling?
Absolutely.
Oh, yeah. Then I won't do it. Because I agree with you, so that means I'd be a horrible gambler.
But again, because I gamble to have fun. I'm not one of these that gambles to make money. So, you know, if I gamble...
That's why you lose.
Exactly. Hey, you know, again, it's entertainment. All right, so speaking of our friends at Poker News, they delved into the touchy subject of what should happen when a player tests positive for COVID during a multi-day tournament. The article referenced two ideas tweeted by well-known pros. Alan Kessler posted a poll on his Twitter feed on what tournament directors should do for fellow players, either inform them of a positive test of another player or not. While Justin Bonomo suggested venues should create a formula to refund positive players a portion of their buy-in, and the former, by 60 to 40 respondents, said the venue should try to inform possibly infected players, though some mentioned that all players know the risk of playing poker these days. And the latter, industry leaders, including Matt Savage and Sean McCormick, mentioned there are some difficulties involved with that. Reaction from players similarly mentioned problems, including what happens if a player has to leave for any illness. Where do you want to start?
Well, I don't know. When you think about life as a whole, and there's COVID reactions, I think that the poker tournaments should sort of be treated the same way. If you enter a tournament and you are, you know, test positive for it, I think you have to give up your buy-in. You shouldn't get a portion of it back. It's your fault. I'm sorry. I mean, it's your fault. You chose to play, and you chose to go out, and you chose to be in a situation where you could catch COVID, and or whatever you did to catch COVID, you caught COVID. It's not our fault, and you need to be able to, you know, deal with that. That's you chose to play, and I'm on that team. Whatever that team was that said, the results of having to do something like this, what could happen. Then, you know, you're an adult and, hey, you're going to sacrifice that buy-in. And I don't even know how you can come up with a formula to give them some of their buy-in back. That's also affecting the players in the tournament. It's like, okay, I thought I was playing for $1 million, but 30 guys got sick and they're bought in for, you know, 50 grand each. And now I'm playing for 600,000 or whatever the hell it is. It's like, how do you even figure that out? Well, I've got a huge stack size. Well, we did it on time rather than chips. And it's just, that's a nightmare.
Absolute nightmare. And I understand where this is coming from, so I'm not criticizing Justin for suggesting this. I mean, all this stuff is coming from a place of heart, that trying to understand this thing that none of us can understand, right?
Right.
And again, I don't know Justin. I haven't followed up with what he's saying here, but I would assume part of his concern here is that if we don't have a way of crediting players for getting becoming positive during the tournament, they will do what you kind of what you said, and I agree, is they're just not going to enter, right? So if they don't enter, then those guarantees come down, the price pool comes down, and that's not good for poker. So he's trying. I think he's trying to help here. The problem, though, is that the solutions are worse than the problem. As somebody joked, it's not even really a joke. I mean, they were being funny, but the same thing I thought of: as soon as you get eliminated from a tournament, why not go get tested?
Yeah, right.
Oh, hey, by the way, I'm positive. So give me my prorated buy-in back.
That's right. That's right.
So you got that, and then what kind of thing that I there's some other people that first thing I thought of is like, why is COVID any different than anything else?
Yeah,
you know, yeah. If I get the flu or I develop some other something or other, I'm like, obviously I shouldn't be playing anymore. So do I get a refund too, or is it just COVID?
Right.
That doesn't make any sense to me. And if you open up that can of worms, that's really, really
exactly because how many people die of the flu every year? You know, people die and get complications from pneumonia or from the common cold. You know, it's a silly thing. You just can't do this. You can't do it.
So, I mean, you could solve both of these by just saying to folks, hey, COVID's here to stay. We all have to learn how to deal with it in our own ways. If you enter a poker tournament, understand what that means. That means that if you test positive and you have to drop out, you lose your buy-in. If somebody tests positive at the table, you may or may not know. But that's the risk you run. Now, where it gets a little difficult is that I think there is an effort that could be made to Alan Kessler's point. You know, no one's going to volunteer. I shouldn't say no one. There will be players that will not voluntarily leave a tournament from a positive test, I would say, right? Mm-hmm. You know, hey, I've bought in. I'm not getting anything for dropping out. I'm playing. I'm masked up, you know, right? So it would take a tournament director to remove you from the tournament, right?
Yeah.
And so at that point, I mean, if you're removing somebody from the tournament, I think there should be – I don't think it's unreasonable. Let me say that. It's not unreasonable to ask the venue to do some level of contract tracing. And, you know, even if it's just an announcement over the mic before a play starts, hey, we had to remove a player for test positive for COVID. So y'all should go get tested.
because, yeah. You
know, I don't think it needs to get down to the granular part of going and figuring out what table that particular played on and who was there and finding them and letting them know. I mean, I think a blanket announcement was sufficient enough for me, I would say.
This is the nightmare of basically opening a poker room with COVID going on and a country or a world trying to get over it, you know, because they see the danger of it. And, you know, because you had a really good point, and I really don't know how to react to it, really, about, you know, the flu, you know. But the flu has gotten so weak over the years. Yeah, it changes every year. That's, you know, why you always get a different kind of shot every year, because it evolves. But, you know, it still can kill people, and yet we don't do anything about it. You know, we just say, oh, most people don't die of the flu, you know. And while I guess to define the word most people don't die of COVID now.
Right.
Right. So eventually it's going to get to the point where we're going to be like, well, COVID is just endemic and it's just like any other virus or thing that you might catch. And you're likely only going to die of it if you have a weak immune system or if you're, you know, whatever. And so we're just going to now lift all these bans and just going to be able to go play. And if somebody has COVID, big deal. That's going to happen. But
yes.
because it's happened with flu, but
yes.
But you're right. It's like, okay, why are they making all these conditions for COVID, but they're not for the flu or they're not for the common cold? Because, you know, test positive for the flu, you know, can I get my money back? You know, no, because COVID is the chic thing right now. It's the new thing. It's the thing
that's
that,
right.
You know what I'm trying to say? It's just weird.
Yeah, no, I absolutely agree. Yeah.
It's weird.
And again, I mean, we're not going to get a deep COVID discussion here, but I think what we've learned from Omicron is that it's going to continue to mutate, right? So that's why it's always going to be here, but it's going to get weaker and weaker.
Right.
So, you know, the reaction that you have depends on whether you got vaccinated or not. or your health concerns and all that kind of stuff, you know, right? So so you have to make your choices. The one of the year, so, you know, back when COVID started, and we might have talked about this on the show, but I had some conversations with some poker room managers about, you know, what precautions they were going to take when they reopened, right? And I was telling them, I'm like, you know, not everything with COVID is bad. I mean, these precautions, I mean, that have been, there are some that I wanted to stick around, and I'm actually disappointed that the temperature check disappeared. Because I think that would, you know, in general, I have some level of concern that I'm going to get COVID playing poker? Yes, of course, because I have some level of concern I'm going to get COVID doing anything these days, right?
Right, right.
A number of my friends that are fully vaxxed and boosted that have gotten COVID in the last week is staggering, right? So yeah. At this point, it's just going to happen, I think. So yeah, I'm concerned by that. But I'm also concerned about any other kind of illness I can get by being in a room with 500 people, you know, touching cards and chips, right? So, and the fact that the technology ramped up so quickly on these temperature checks, it's really disappointing to me that that's gone away. I mean, there are places now where you could literally walk in and they don't have to stop you to shoot the gun. They just have this, I don't know, this aura thing that you walk through with it. It lets you know if you've got a high temp or not.
I think the Hard Rock had that. Didn't the Hard Rock have that? Yeah.
I mean, it's not intrusive anymore, and I would just be happy with that. Even if that means that I get denied some places, I mean, I don't take my temperature every day. You know, obviously, if I don't feel well, I'm going to stay home. But, you know, maybe I'm starting to have a fever and I didn't know about it. I'd be thankful if somebody let me know, hey, you're getting sick. I'm like, okay, great. You know what? No poker for me today. Let me go home and take care of myself. Get some OJ and some chicken soup.
Yeah, exactly.
So I wish we would have kept that going forward, and that would have been. But yeah, so that's – I think you're right. I think it's still this – I don't want to use the overword overreaction, but too much reaction on this singular thing that has now become part of our world and at the expense of other things that can harm our bodies.
Yeah.
Let's see what happens.
Well, yeah, move forward. Any updates? Papes, the Anti-Up Fans free online tournament series on PokerStars Play Money site, is available everywhere. Details on how to join can be found at bit.ly/PAIPS. Games are on the 6th, 26th of every month and rotate disciplines with a main tournament followed by a second chance event. PokerStars lets you claim 15,000 free chips every 4 hours. Join the Anti-Up Fans group Facebook page and get feedback on your hands or ask called for questions or just discuss anything poker. Check out our 11 vintage Anti-Up logo designs on merchandise at antiupmagazine.com/shop. You can buy t-shirts, hoodies, sweatshirts, phone and laptop cases, coffee and drink mugs, and more with your choice of Anti-Up Magazine, Anti-Up PokerCast, or Anti-Up Poker Tour logos. If you have a hand of the week, listener spotlight, or call to floor submission, email podcast@antiupmagazine.com or post in the Anti-Up Fans group Facebook. I got a question for you. Did you ever see Family Guy? Did you ever watch that show?
Oh, used to love Family Guy. All right. Yes.
Do you remember the episode where I think Stewie locks up Cleveland and what's the guy who drives the Chevy?
Oh my gosh, it's been so long, I forget his name. It starts with a G.
Yeah, Giddy, that guy. When Stewie locks them up in the cellar, right, on the chains, and then he puts like an infomercial on, and it's on loop, and they're constantly repeating it, and then when they end the show, they go down there, and the two guys are there, and they're reciting what the infomercial is, and they do it in synchronicity, and they just constantly over. I wonder if people who binge our show, because I read this same Annie updates thing every week. And, like, I almost close my eyes when I do it now because I can do it by memory almost completely. And I just wonder if there's people out there that are just, like, with their eyes are glazed over and they're droning on. They're like, join the Anti-Up Fans group Facebook page to get feedback on it, you know.
Reasonably sure you're correct because we haven't sold a damn T-shirt in months. not a lot of interaction on the Facebook fans page anymore. And I don't know about Papes. I mean, we just finished the season, the yearly season, so I don't know whether play is going up or down with that, but yeah, and we're not getting a lot of emails anymore either. So
probably Quagmire. That's it's Quagmire. Glenn Quagmire.
The G in there.
All right, Glenn Quagmire.
It might be coming close to this iPhone 13 commercial that is on every time right now. I don't know if you've seen that one, but my wife and I keep laughing about it. I'm like, it comes on, and I'm like, all day long, this commercial.
I know. Okay, this is our call to four here. This is find yourself in a situation, your favorite poker room, your home game, you're not sure what the proper ruling would should have been. Email us at podcast@antiupmagazine.com. We'll have Rivers Casino Schenectady Director of Poker, Elliot Schechter, tell you how he would have ruled. Comes from Jeff Chander. He says, this is a bar league. No money at stake. Most players in the league play it like that. But a few of us attempt to use it as practice for real tournaments and play like that. We help the dealers and shuffle additional decks to speed up the gameplay once we get shorthanded. We were down to four players, and I was shuffling the spare deck for the next hand as the cards were dealt. Under the gun, player folds, and I was on the button. The dealer takes the folded cards and places them on top of mine and begins to place them, pull them in before I had a chance to look at the cards. I say, hold on, I didn't fold, and ask the dealer for the bottom two cards. To make sure I had my cards, I asked the under-the-gun player to look at the two cards that were separated and verify if they were the two cards he folded. He agreed that they were his cards, and I looked at my cards at that point. I had an ace and a four, and being on the button, I shoved all in. The player in the small blind said that the cards should have been mucked when the dealer grabbed them and folded. I said that the cards verified to be in the... I said that the cards verified to be in the... It doesn't make any sense.
Yeah,
sorry. So anyway, the cards verified were his, and the under-the-gun player verified the other two cards were his, so it didn't matter. Since our directors are generally there to make sure the games go on smoothly and follow the basic rules, but in this instance, myself and the other player agreed the directors would not know the answer to this technical rule. We ended up playing the hand out, the small blind folded, and the big blind on the short stack called and was knocked out by me. Was this appropriate to continue with the hand, or should the cards have been mucked as the other player suggested?
All right, so yes, we gave Elliot the week off again because this is an easy one. This is a clear fold. Mucked. You can't get these cards back. And so a couple issues here. Certainly understand the shuffling of a second deck to speed things up and make things easier. You know, we do that in our home game too. Just understand that while you're trying to solve a problem there, you're opening yourself up to other problems like this one, right? So my advice is when you are the one shuffling the other deck, you know, cap your cards right away when they're dealt. Pay attention. You got to walk and chew gum at the same time, right? Mm. Pay attention to those cards. Hold on to them. You know, your hand is more important than shuffling that deck. So always protect your hand and make sure you're acting on your hand properly. You can finish up shuffling afterwards, even if, you know, I know you get frustrated too when you're the one dealing and then you play it all the way to the end, right? And then you look down, oh my God, I'm sorry, I haven't shuffled yet. But that's fine. I mean, you're just trying to speed up the game. You're not trying to like warp speed it, right?
So if every
once in a while the person shuffling ends up being in a big hand and playing at the end and you have to wait for them to do a traditional shuffle, oh gosh, the humanity of it, right? So just don't worry about that. So, here's the other thing I think people forget about, too, in this particular case, because I could see why someone said, hey, there are only four cards there. I asked the other player to verify that those two cards were his, so these other two cards have to be mine. What's the problem here? Well, again, this is a collusion problem, right? So obviously, that's not what's going on here. Jeff does. I'm not assuming that Jeff and this other guy are not colluding. But how do you know that there aren't two other people at the table that are doing that? And the guy looks at two cards and like, hey, nope. How about you play these two nicer cards, right? You know. So, you know, once it's mucked, it's mucked. There's a reason it's mucked, and it's unfortunate that it happened. But it's preventable. So keep that in mind. It's very preventable here. I mean, you can make sure your cards are capped and protected, and then shuffle later on.
So. It's weird. I'm going to disagree with you on this,
and, okay. Awesome.
And I almost always agree with you because what we're doing here is basically talking from an industry standpoint and from a rule standpoint, that kind of thing. But this is different in that, and for me, in that we aren't following casino rules, because if it was a real casino, there'd be one dealer and there wouldn't be multiple decks and you would have to do it. So once you introduce something that is outside the realm of what is accepted poker, you know, etiquette or decor or whatever you want to call it, now you're saying, okay, I believe we have to go to rule one then and say, do what's best for the game. In this case, someone's doing their job, shuffling the deck, and all of a sudden turns around and is like, whoa, my cards are gone. I'm sorry, I was trying to help the game. This is what you asked us to do, to shuffle this extra deck. I was doing it, and then you took my cards, and that's one. Two, I understand that you can protect your cards, and I know what you're saying, but because they introduced this different element, I believe that there should be some sort of leeway, some sort of, okay. Then I think also with the collusional argument, I think some common sense has to stand in here. What are the odds that two people go into this tournament, are seated next to each other in a tournament, at that precise moment say, hey, if we ever come up with the situation where our four cards get folded on the bottom of a double deck that we didn't have, we're going to say, and then the other thing too was, he didn't show them all four cards. He showed them the bottom two that were obviously his. So he doesn't know that the other two are better than the, you know. So, I mean, I think common sense could have prevailed here and said, hey, we introduced extra decks. Hey, we asked you to shuffle those decks. Hey, a mistake was made. We can solve it. We can go into the muck, because we have been cases in tournaments where they make them go into the muck and verify it's their cards. And we've talked about it on the show when they actually do that in real tournaments and real casinos. I think that common sense and the fact that we've introduced an element that isn't really in poker, isn't really in an official poker setting, that there should be some sort of leeway and be like, hey, you know what? We're in a bar league together. There's no money. Can we at least, you know, this was a mistake that I didn't make. The dealer made it. And this is something that you all created with these extra decks and this other stuff. And could it really be collusion in a bar league that in this situation, it would be like all the planets aligning and then producing diamonds that rain down on us so that we can all be rich. I just don't see that happening. So in my mind, I think this is the opposite of what it should have. I think they should have definitely let him play his cards and knock him out.
All fair points. Not going to go back and forth. The collusion thing, I mean, yes, it is a ridiculous assumption. But again, it's there just to prevent
right. A
different situation that may not be as ridiculous as this one. So, and then the only thing I'll say is, I mean, and it's difficult because he said, you know, no money at stake. Most players play it like that. But a few of us attempt to practice for real tournaments and play like that. So, I mean, I guess that's where I'm getting at is that, you know, you get conditioned in how you play and where you play the most, right? So what I don't want, and I think we've spent 15 years, 16 years on the show telling people that, you know, you can play your home game however you want, but you can't go in a casino and insist that the casino do the same things you do at home, right?
Right.
So
right. If
you want to be prepared for playing in a casino, the best way to prepare yourself for playing a casino is playing your home game, your bar league, or your free leagues, or whatever it is, as close to a casino as possible. So that way, when you get in a casino, you don't have this problem. So now, you're right. You know, getting to casino, I mean, you're not shuffling. You're not touching the cards, right? So this scenario is not going to happen. But you don't want that scenario where you think that you're allowed to go muck diving. I mean, there are, you're right, there are some situations where that does happen, but very, very few. For the most part, when cards are mucked, they're mucked in a casino, and you're just not going to get them back. So you get conditioned to say, you're conditioning yourself to be a little lazy, I guess is what I'm saying.
Yeah.
And then, hey, you know, it's not my job to protect my cards. It's the dealer's job to realize that I haven't folded yet. And that's not the case in a casino. So.
All right. Very entertaining. I didn't think that the no Elliot needed call to four was going to be as entertaining as it was, but it's always nice to have opposing viewpoints sometimes.
Absolutely.
We get to complete O'Malley's move today, which is always exciting. So we're going to play part one to refresh our memories, and then we'll see you on the other side.
Hello, and welcome to another O'Malley's Move. I'm Malcolm O'Malley. This week we are playing in a $1, $2 Nolum and Hold'em casino cash game. The action goes in waves, where it gets crazy for a while and then settles down for a time. The table has been relatively calm for the last half hour or so. The max buy-in is $500, but most players buy in for $200. We usually get as close to the biggest stack as possible when we buy in. Today when we sat down, there was a 250 stack as the biggest, so we bought in for $300 and have broke even so far. There is a brand new player on the button that sat down a few hands earlier. He bought in for $200. The blinds post, and it's folded all the way around to us in the cutoff with the ace of clubs, king of spades. Fantastic. We make it $8 to go. Standard. The button calls, the new guy. The small blind folds, and the big blind calls. After the rake and jackpot drop, there's around $20 in the pot, and the flop is the 9 of diamonds, 8 of spades, 4 of hearts. The big blind surprises us by donk betting into two opponents for $15. Raising and then folding to a single bet is extremely weak, even for 1-2. We're going to make this call and see what develops. Interestingly, the button calls as well. There's now around $65 in the pot, and the turn is the king of diamonds. The big blind checks. Well, other than a set, I'm not sure what beats us here. I think this is a bet. We want to deny any draws equity and get value from nines or sticky king X hands. We make it $50 to go. The button shoves for his remaining $175, and the big blind thinks for quite a while before flinging his cards at the dealer in frustration. So, it's $125 to win around $190. Are we good here? Does it matter? What's the move?
I think I like a call here. Sets are always possible, of course, but the only reasonable two-pair hand here is a suited 9-8. I doubt 7-6 is in this hand, but Jack-10 would call a standard raise on the button and a modest C-bet open-ended and would shove to guarantee a victory, right?
Yeah.
I think King-King is out since lots of other King hands are, but lots of other King hands are possible, and we have them all beat except for tying with Ace-King, so I feel pretty good here.
I agree with you on a call. I mean, why shove if you're ahead, right? I mean, the old adage is that if they're trying to scare you out, it's because they're weak, why, you know, or they're precarious. So why shove if you're ahead? I think our hand is good right now, and we need to call. So that's what I'm going to do, too. Here comes part two.
Hello again. This has to be a draw. I don't see a hand like nines, eights, or fours playing it this way. And can this really be something like king nine or 9-8? This might be a combo draw, something like queen jack of diamonds or jack 10 of diamonds, but I have to make this call. Our opponent flips over the queen of diamonds, jack of diamonds. And as the river peels off the 8 of diamonds, we have to add on. Meh, it happens. Until next time, I'm Malcolm O'Malley saying, sometimes you get outdrawn. I hope to see you on the felt.
Well, the combo draw really makes sense now, and we had to dodge plenty of calls, but I still think we made the right call.
Yeah, you got to love being ahead and losing to a draw with one card to come, don't you?
That's why we play pokers for that to happen, right?
I mean, I guess there's solace in the fact that you were right in making the call while ahead, so you knew you were ahead, you just happened to get sucked out on, so that stinks. But yeah, it's at least you're making the right decisions, it's just you're getting the wrong results.
And I think our opponent made the right decision here, too. I'm like, that's the way you play that, right? I'm like, you know, why wait until you catch up? I mean, put the pressure on now. You've got two ways of winning this hand, by getting them fold now, or if they call.
Or hitting it.
Hitting it, as we did. So
this Sklansky semi-bluff. David Sklansky semi-bluff. Yeah.
Absolutely. Well played by our opponent, I think. Well played by both of us.
Yeah, I think there was a... I was going to say there's no losers, but there was.
Yeah, there was a loser. Yeah. O'Malley might have a problem with that.
Yeah, sorry, O'Malley.
All right, it's time for the AdvancedPokerTrading.com hand of the week. Send your hands or situations to podcast@antiupmagazine.com. If you haven't won something from us in the past year, you'll get a free membership to Advanced Poker Training, the world's number one poker training site. Mike Buck is sending the hand of the week this week, Chris, and didn't mention, but I grew up with the Mike Buck, so.
Oh.
I would imagine if that's the same Mike Buck, he would have said something. Anyhow, thanks for the blast from the past, this Mike Buck.
Cool.
Let's see. Here's a hand he said he just played on PokerStars. Villain hasn't been at the table for long, but played nearly every hand, including getting his 100 big blind stack in preflop with Jack-10 suited where he cracked King-King. Wow.
Jeez.
Oof. Game is eight-handed, playing 50 cent $1, no limit hold'em, and we have squiggly $100, and the villain has us covered.
Okay.
Under the gun limps, the villain is in under the gun plus one, and also limps. One player folds, and it is on us in the hijack with the four of hearts, four of spades.
Well, I mean, I guess I like a limp. You know, we'll set mine, try to get it for cheap online like this. You know, somebody may end up doing a squeeze on us, you know, a couple more spots behind us. But so as it goes, hijack, cutoff, button, right? So you got at least two players behind you that are not in the blinds that might try to squeeze you. But I think it's worth a call here just to see if you can get in for cheap and flop a set.
Yeah, calling all day long here. I'm like, this is why you set mine. I'm like, I mean, it's the minimum to get in. It's a dollar. I mean, that's what you hope for. Now, you're right. Now, there might be some action after us, but for right now, it's $1.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't see much reason to raise here. Again, tournaments are different when you have to, like, make some bigger plays. But raising with fours here, I think, is a little too aggressive for my taste. But folding is insane, in my opinion. So,
yeah.
On here, and you're right. If it gets raised, then we have to make a decision at that point whether to call or not. But for now, this is a great deal for a dollar.
Okay.
All right. Our hero says, I don't want to get into a preflop raising war with this hand, but it is an ideal set mining hand versus this villain, so I elect to call. Cutoff button and small blind fold and big blind checks. So there's nice. 450 after the rake in the pot, and our flop is the deuce of clubs, deuce of diamonds, seven of diamonds, and it's checked to us.
Well, that's a pretty good flop. I mean, only one over, and generally people are entering pots with just a seven in their hand early in the hand. All the later players folded. So if you're early in a hand, generally you have bigger cards if you're entering a pot. I mean, if you're set mining, then you might have 7-7. You might have 8-7 suited, and you might limp with it. But for the most part, you know, a deuce could be in someone's hand. You know, the big blind could have a deuce. It could be check raising or whatever. But then again, you said the villain in the hand wasn't the big blind, so seems pretty safe to bet something now just to see where you are. And, you know, I wouldn't mind a bet here. Like, what'd I say, maybe half the pot? You know, like, what's in the pot? It's $4.50? So $2, $2, $3, something like that, probably.
Yeah, I actually even defend going all the way up to pot here. I'm like, because I think we're ahead here, but we're extremely vulnerable. I mean, there are not a lot of cards are going to come on the turn that we're going to like, right? So I have no problem betting pot and taking this down right now and being happy with our, you know, we didn't end this to set mine, but we got the second best option for our hand. You know, a paired board with a pair lower than ours and, like you said, a middling over card that other than the big blind no one should really be around. So
okay,
I'm more than happy to take the spot down right
yeah
now.
And we have position, so we can always you know, whatever later, but I like a bet.
We decide to bet 250 here. He says, I think that apart from the big blind, it's hard to imagine anyone having a deuce here, and I think a seven would bet out as the turn likely wouldn't help them. I believe I probably have the best hand right now. No one else has shown any interest, and I'm happy to win it here. I mean, I guess the argument against the pot size bet, as I mentioned, is if somebody is laying the weeds with a seven or a deuce, that they'll pop you here. So
yeah, and you wasted money that you didn't have to put out there.
You know, we may want to fold if that happens. I'm not saying we would, but it'll be $2 less than we lose, but. But anyhow, so somewhere in that half pot to full pot is probably the right bet. So.
Right, you always want to bet the least amount of money that'll have the same effect.
Exactly.
Right?
Yep.
And that's what you want here.
Big blind and under the gun fold, but the villain and the under gun plus one min raises to $5. And it's back to us.
Okay, so that's just set off an alarm right there. He check raise with a min raise. Okay, so he's got a deuce. Or he's got a seven. I don't think he's got sevens full because he would be happy to just call and make it look like maybe he's drawn to diamonds or something.
Yeah,
I can't imagine us being ahead now. And, I mean, unless he has something like Trey, which he wouldn't check raise with Trey. So, you know, sixes, fives, and then sevens, eights, those all have us beat. So I believe he wouldn't have checked with 8-8. He probably would have bet 8-8. So he's got to have I would think he has a deuce, because why wouldn't he just bet the seven to find out what's going on? Why check raise out a seven? That's kind of silly to me. So I believe that we're behind right now. And I don't mind a call just because it's so little that maybe we can pop a four on the turn and then take it down. But if in my heart, I know I'm way behind. Like if this guy has a deuce and I have to hit the four, I don't know if I call. But it could be just to see this guy could be trying to get a free card for his diamonds. You know, who knows? So I might just call and see what happens on the turn because I have position. If he checks the turn, then I get the river for free if I don't hit my four. So that'd be great. If I do hit my four for the paltry $2.50, that's even better. Because now when you call, if he has the deuce and you hit your boat, you know, he might just have a seven, or he might just have a deuce, or he might think we just have a seven and he's going to get us for more money. Either way, there's a lot of reasons to just call here and hope you pop the four. And because you're in position, you can even represent the diamonds and get a three deuces to fold, you know, if something comes and he checks to you like he's nervous. You know, so there's a lot of reasons to call here, I think, especially since it's not that much money.
Yeah. I think it's an interesting spot here because, one, why the min raise? Why not a bigger raise?
Right.
Yeah, all those holdings that you mentioned are entirely possible. But I do think there's also a case to be made that this person is playing us. Because he can't assume that we would have a deuce or a seven either. So, and again, you know, basic poker theory, it checks to you on the button. You should be betting here, right? Which is what we did. So if you're assuming your opponent is doing basic poker theory, then the right thing now to do is to say, hey, I've got a better hand, even if you don't. So, but to pull that off, I think it has to be more than a min raise. So that's what I'm confused about here. So, and then the only other thing I'll mention too is, and I'm not insinuating that he has a boat here, but I'm always got a little radar up when I see seven and a deuce on the board.
Oh, yeah.
Just love to play that hand.
Yeah, yeah.
And there are people out there that love to play it and hope to win with it, and so they can tell all their poker buddies at home, hey, I felt that this guy was seven deuce, ha ha ha. Yeah. So I am a little bit more heightened with that.
But he wouldn't have played it this way, right? He wouldn't have min raised with it. He has a board crushed, he has a deck crushed, whatever. There's no way that he's gonna risk losing you now with deuces full of sevens. He would just call. So
yeah, I mean, but the argument would be, I mean, go back to the min raise, which I don't understand. I could see someone thinking, well, if I just min raise, they can't fold. Right, so yeah, there is a case that maybe that's the case.
It just sets off alarms, though. You know, it sets off alarms. You can't get any more money out of anybody.
Here, this is Apollo 13 all over again.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah.
So,
and the one thing I will say too is he said that, if I remember correctly, the villain played just about every hand, and then says, "Can't imagine somebody having a deuce." But you could totally have ace deuce if you're this player who's played every hand. Everybody plays a suited ace deuce. You know, they get it because they can make a wheel and the nut flush and even a steel wheel. So he could have ace-deuce in his hand, and the min-raise is just his way of saying, like you said, he can't fold for $2 more or $50 more, so I don't know. He could have a deuce in his hand, though. I don't know what the deuce is, but it could be ace-deuce. Could be 3-2, who knows, you know, because he plays every hand.
Yeah, so here's the real frustrating part for us now. It's a min-raise, so, you know, it's not that much more. I mean, yeah, we could hit our four, and hopefully their four will be good, but that's really all we can hope for now, right? Other than, as you mentioned, maybe we could play the diamonds to our advantage. So yeah, I mean, I guess the diamonds tip it in that favor, where, I mean, you get a couple other things you can play with here, but otherwise, you know, it's 250 for a two outer.
Yeah.
So, you know, I don't know.
Two outer twice, though, you know, increases.
That's true.
Your, if you get the
seed. I think we're all calling here, right? But I'm like, hey, I'm just pointing out that maybe mathematically it's not correct. So
yeah. Okay.
All right, our hero does decide to call and says, I want to see what he does on the turn. I don't believe he has a deuce, and although he may have a seven the way he's played so far, I think he also is likely to have any two over cards. I don't want to re-raise and then have to fold to a shove, but I'm also probably not putting much more in here unless the turn is good.
Yeah, well, see, that's the thing is we always, a lot of times when we analyze these, we just analyze by the information they've given us, but a lot of times people don't care what their cards are. They're playing the player.
Yeah.
So he also, because he has position, right, Mike could think at the end of the hand, I can also outplay him later, make him think I have the better deuce or a deuce. You know, because there's no reason why he couldn't have ace-deuce in the hijack, right? There's no reason why he couldn't have suited ace-deuce himself. So you could outplay him later, too. So it doesn't really matter that we're calling the 250 here because we have to hit two out, or it could be that you're just going to outplay somebody at the end in position.
There, you know, and the more I think about this, there is a case for us to raise here, too, because, you know, if we – raising here, I mean, as you said, I don't want to get into a raising war, but I there is no raising war from here. I mean, if I raise one more time here and he re-raises me, I'm out, right?
Right.
I mean, it's going to be really hard for me to imagine that this guy is playing with air when we raise him again. I mean, he could be taking advantage of us because we're in position, all those things I said – and raising, and then if we raise again, I would imagine there's a lot of scenarios where that guy insta-folds, right?
Yeah.
Just make a move on us, and then we show, hey, you picked the wrong time to make a move. and I'm out. And if he re-raises, then he's got to have something, I think. I mean, or at least the chances of him having something.
That beats us. Yeah.
And everything he could have beats us at this point. I mean, as you mentioned, pocket trays are the only thing that we beat here, I think. So
it's funny because we were just 2 minutes ago talking about betting on the least amount of money to have the effect that you want, and now we're talking about putting more money in that we didn't want to put in the first place. So I like a call.
It's you know, I mean, you got to figure out what you're going to do. So I think the frame of mind that all three of us were in at this point was, hey, it's 250. We'll see what the turn is. If it's good, then great. And if it's not, we're out, right? And that's a very reasonable line to take. But the problem is we got two more streets of betting. So by putting in a raise, I don't know what the raise would be here. Maybe raise it to 10, right? So it's probably what you do here. Is that less than two more streets of betting to, and then, you know, do this magic trick that you mentioned to, you know, try to play, outplay him later on. So, you know, yeah, it's more money, but maybe it's less money in the long run to get the same effects. So I don't know. I guess after more thought, I would be a little bit more aggressive here in raise, but we'll see what happens.
And the fact that we bet out first plays in the story that, you know, we have a hand that beats his seven, or we have a, you know, we could have the deuce and we're just trying to get, because we were last to act. And I mean, we are kind of laying the story that we do have a good hand here, so that when he min raises us, if we raise him again, he's going to be like, oh man. Maybe he does have me beat, or, you know, or I don't have the deuce, I was just fooling, or, you know, whatever. But at the same time, if he pops us again, then we know we're beat. So, I don't know. I like a call, though. Of all the choices, I think I'm going to call.
All right. So remember, our hero said he's not putting much more unless the turn is good. Right. Well, the turn is good. He said it's the four of clubs. So our board now is deuce of clubs, deuce of diamonds, seven of diamonds, four of clubs. The villain leads out for 750.
Okay, well, unless it's a seven, we're going to get this guy stack. You know, unless he has, because he has seven, he could fold if we raise him now. So it's got to be a deuce because we called. If the fact that we called, he's not nervous to bet into us. He's confident we don't have the deuce because he's got the deuce. There's no way he could bet 750 with us calling, because if us calling and he doesn't have the deuce, he's going to think that we have the deuce and we're just smooth calling. So for him to bet into us, he has to have a deuce. And I'm happy with raising him. You know, I mean, I usually do 3x, but if he wants to get cute and does the same thing he did to us and min raise him, you know, that's fine too. But I think if he has a deuce, he's going to call whatever we bet. So I'm going to make it like 20 bucks to go.
All right, I'm going to disagree with you here. I'm going to call. I'm going to call here because, again, it's for the same reasons that you were raising here. I'm like, he's obviously very confident in his hand. You know, unless he's got pocket deuces or pocket sevens, you know, we've got this hand locked down now. And then we no longer have to worry about diamonds if he was making some kind of move with diamonds. So I will call here, maybe give him the illusion that I'm drawing a diamonds or something like that. And because we're in position, we don't have to worry about missing a bet on the river, right? So if we're out of position, the problem is you want to check one more time, but then he could check behind. That's not going to happen here. I mean, if we call here and he checks on the river, then we can get a bet in at that point. Now, you're right. If he has a deuce here, maybe I'm leaving money on the table, but because we could get it all in or get a raising war going on here. But I kind of think I kind of like the misdirection here and call the 750 and then let him bet and then I'll raise on the river.
Okay, I'm going to throw out something off the wall. Okay, by just calling, let's say he has 5-5, 6-6. Or a random naked seven, or he has a deuce. He has the two deuces that's gonna freak you out. That could come, or you know, one deuce that could come at the end. I'm saying with his other deuce, so he could have a seven that comes, and then you're gonna be like, oh man, if he had a seven, now he's got a bigger boat than me. It's gonna make you second guess whatever he bets on the river. If he has 5-5 and a five comes on the end, now you're gonna think, well, my boat is beat. 6-6, my boat could be beat. You have all these questions that are going to make you maybe fold to a bet on the end. Whereas if you are convinced he has a deuce now, he's not going to fold to a bet here. get it in now so you can't be bluffed on the river later. I would definitely raise him here. You know, imagine if a 7 comes and then he bets. You're going to be sick to your stomach, and then he turns over ace-deuce, and you're going to be like, oh, you got to be kidding me.
True, but if we get it all in here, I mean, we're still going to lose it as 7 comes, right? So, I mean, I know what you're saying is that we're giving ourselves an opportunity to get bluffed out of this pot.
Right.
So that's a fair point, but we're not going to lose any less here, I don't think, by calling.
Well, you could lose value. I mean, if you just call and then he checks the river and you, because it's a 7 and, or whatever, and you check, then it's like, oh, I could have made more money if I had forced him to get it in now instead of us both being scared later. We always talk about scare cards.
Yeah. All right.
So I want to raise. I'm just saying, that's my point. Your point is very valid. I'm just saying.
Nope. Just good valid points there.
Yeah, I wanted to throw stuff to the wall and see if it stuck. That's all. That's all I did there.
All right. Our hero min raises to $15.
That's what he said.
He says, I'm now hoping he's in aggro mode and shoves on me, but to my surprise, he just min raises back to $22.50. Hey, you guys know there are limit games on PokerStars, right? You don't want to make calculated artistic bets. You can play limit. It's a lot more fun, by the way. I agree.
So, I mean, the only thing that we're afraid of is 7-7, really, you know, and for him to keep doing this.
So, I mean, he could have quads, too. So.
Yeah, and deuce-deuce, but it just, come on. If you had quads, are you really min-raising us on that flop?
Both would be limping hands, too, right?
Yeah. So, but would you really raise us at all at any point at that flop?
I would not have raised on the flop with quads.
So I'm shoving.
All right. Well, again, I'm not too worried here either. We got what I think consider our gin card, even though I don't like gin. I think I'm with you. So.
All right.
All right, here says, this is different to how he's played so far, and it scares me slightly as I feel he's trying to entice me to shove. I know I'm only losing to pocket deuces and pocket sevens, but both those hands are possibilities, and I think he'd play them this way. I decide on caution and just call.
I just don't see someone with sevens full on that flop or quads on that flop min-raising after checking, because it just sends up flags and he's trying to scare you, and you don't want that. You don't want to be scared here. You want, you know, someone to have a 7 and you have a lonely deuce and you think you might get some more out of them. But you don't want to have quads and lose somebody. You want them to boat up when you have quads. You just I just don't agree with that. I don't think he plays it this way if he has those two hands. I think we're good.
You want that flush to get here too, right?
Yeah, exactly. So, I'm shoving.
Yeah. Okay. There's Squiggly 16 the pot, and the river is the horrible 7 of hearts, he says. So our final board is deuce of clubs, deuce of diamonds, 7 of diamonds, 4 of clubs, 7 of hearts. And he says, the villain takes forever to act while I'm quietly hating life, waiting for this inevitable shove. And then, to my surprise, he only bets out $7.50.
See, I should play the lotto tonight or something. I was just fooling around saying the 7, and the 7 comes. See, this is it. This is what I'm saying. So now you literally could be way ahead of this guy, which I know you hate to hear that. You hate way ahead. You like just ahead. But I believe that... I'm glad he bet that, and I have to call. I can't go crazy now because he could have just, like you said, he plays every hand, and he went all in with Jack 10 earlier. So, you know, he could have a random 7, and we lost. But he could have a deuce, and we won. So I'm going to call, which is terrible, but I would have got more money out of him if he had a deuce, and I had made my move earlier. So I'm upset by that, but we can't think back because I have to play it the way it's been given to us. So I'm just going to call now. I can't risk losing more money to a random 7.
Yeah. I think the only decision here is a call. I mean, fold is too tight, I think, because we beat a lot of hands here. And raising is too risky at this point because that 7.
Yeah, it's a ton of money in that pot for $7. I'm calling.
Yeah. Our hero agrees with us. I don't really think about this one. I just make the call. As the river basically killed my hand, I'm happy to take 9-1 odds to see if my hand is still good. Amazingly, it is when he turns over the 4 of diamonds, deuce of hearts.
Oh, jeez.
Losing to my forceful. Ouch.
Wow.
Inside, I think I definitely left money behind here on the flop. I'm in a horrible shape drawing to one outer, but once I hit the turn, I think instead of playing cautious after this 3-bet, I should have shoved, just like Chris would have done.
Yeah.
I was right in my thinking that he was trying to trap me with a huge hand. I just didn't think it would be the one huge hand that I was beating.
Wow. So a one outer. That's crazy. Wow. And what's even more crazy is that he played 4 deuce off, you know.
Yeah.
in a relatively early position.
Yep.
Under the gun plus one, right? That's what he was. He wasn't middle position. Yeah, so he's early position, and he calls limps with four deuce off.
Yep.
Yeah, so it's tough. You want this guy in your game all the time, but at the same time, it's like you could lose a lot of money to a guy like this, too, because you can't use logic, you know?
Yeah. I mean, he literally could be playing anything at any time. So,
oh, that's insane.
That's always the problem with poker, right? Because every flop, you're worried about three sets, right? You always have to worry about three sets.
Yeah.
Even though it's not as likely. But, I mean, now you're throwing this guy, and you literally, I mean, you can't do the math that you normally do in poker. Like, well, he can't have that hand because he very well could have that hand.
Yeah, exactly.
So, again, that's why it's strategic that way. But you got to be a good player to play crap cards like that for a profit, though. I mean, I know we keep saying it makes it sound like these guys are great because they really make our decisions tough for us. But you got to be good to play those for a profit.
Yeah. Hey, doesn't Mike have, like, the perfect name for poker? Mike Buck?
He does.
I mean, there's pass the buck, it's only a buck. You know, I mean, there's all this stuff you can say. He must have a blast at the table.
And the funny thing is, I'm sitting here at my desk, and I have the buck stops here sign the Harry Truman Little White House down in Key West. So
yes.
And that buck means poker, right?
So. Yeah. Well, Mike Buck, thanks for sending it in, and we appreciate it very much. I'm Chris Cosenza.
And I'm Scott Long.
We will see you at the table.
Anti-Up is a production of antiupmagazine.com. Contact the show at podcast@antiupmagazine.com. If you'd like to advertise, send an email to advertising@antiupmagazine.com or call 727-331-4335. Some music used in this episode comes courtesy of the PodSafe Music Network.
Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.